Welcome. This is Ryan Sokolowski, Senior Program Manager with the ECG CAT team, and today we're going to look at a full end-to-end deployment of Storage Spaces Direct. So one of the first places to start in your journey is the Storage Spaces Direct Experience Guide, and you can see the link to the location where this is published on TechNet here. This comprehensive guide contains a full set of step-by-step directions as to how to do your Storage Spaces Direct implementation, and really forms the basis for all of the commands that we're going to see here today. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and jump into it. And you can see on the top left-hand side here, we're working with four servers called CCEP S2D01 through 04, and we'll be doing all the commands from 01, and I happen to have Failover Cluster Manager open here just to illustrate that there is not currently a cluster built at all. So we're actually going to do all of this using PowerShell commands. So let's open up our PowerShell window, and we're going to paste in our first command, which is test cluster. So this is essentially initiating the failover cluster validation wizard, if you will, but through PowerShell. And you can see towards the middle of that command after the server names, most importantly, it says include Storage Spaces Direct. So what this is doing is we're asking the failover cluster validation wizard to perform its normal tests and include specific validation checks for Storage Spaces Direct. And the test will continue to run here for a moment. And as soon as it's done, we'll take a look at the report that comes back. And it should just take a moment. And then our next steps will be to proceed forward with creating the cluster. Now, this particular test will likely come back with a warning about some unsigned drivers. And in my environment, because I'm using some internal builds of some particular network drivers to support switch embedded teaming or set teaming, that's expected. So you can see that there. And if we pop open this location, I'm just going to copy this, and we'll come here, pop open that location, and we'll take a look at our validation report. And everything should be as expected. We do have warning on the system configuration, and you can see the driver signed issue has been reported, as well as software update levels. So there might be some software update differences between these particular cluster nodes or server nodes, which will soon be a cluster. Speaking of that, let's move forward with creating our cluster. And again, we're going to do everything through PowerShell, and we're going to issue the new cluster command, give a name for the cluster, note the individual server names. We're passing in no storage when you're creating the cluster, and we're actually giving the cluster a static IP address, just in this case. So that was all perfect. Now the next thing we're going to do, these are some things that I like to do to make my cluster pretty, and we'll actually refresh this and take a look at how it's displaying currently and why we're going to run the next set of commands. So if we go to networks, we can see cluster networks 1 through 6. that may not be very useful to you in your environment. So what I'm going to pass in here are some parameters where I say based on a particular IP address range, and I'm using a /24 in my environment, we want to rename these cluster networks. And you can see almost like magic in Failover Cluster Manager, the cluster networks, all of the various networks have been renamed appropriately. Now, the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to actually configure the different cluster network roles for those networks. So role 3 is cluster and client, cluster network. Role 1 is cluster only. And you can see that that has actually changed here. Now, if we go in and take a look at live migration settings, you can see that all of the networks have been selected. A quick way to address that is with this particular command that I'll pop in to PowerShell here. And we're basically saying exclude all the networks if the name does not equal migration network. And with that one simple command, now if we go back in and look here, it effectively unchecked all the other boxes for us. But because we can do it in PowerShell, we like to do that. So our cluster is up and running and pretty solid. So let's actually move into the steps for configuring Storage Spaces Direct. We're going to do that with enable cluster storage spaces direct. And you can see that that is being processed currently in the background. While this is running, I should point out to you that this particular video is being captured on the recently released Technical Preview 4 or TP4 build. So for those of you who have worked with earlier builds of Storage Spaces Direct, there was actually a different PowerShell command syntax for enabling Spaces Direct that has now been updated for TP4 to what's on the screen, enable-cluster storage spaces direct. A little bit more logical and a little bit more straightforward. Now, if we go in and take a look at our disks, you can see our disks have been claimed and are starting to be worked on by Storage Spaces Direct in terms of metadata and writing partitions and so on. And we'll give this just a moment. This usually takes maybe about 2 minutes to run through. The hardware that I'm running on, I have six SSDs, six 800 gig SSDs in each of the four server nodes, and I believe 10 4 terabyte hard drives in each one. Two of my nodes actually recently had disk failures on the 4 terabyte spinning disks. So two of my nodes are actually down to 9 disks, if I remember the numbers correctly. And we'll see that in a moment. We would expect to see a total of 68 disks in our Storage Spaces Direct pool. But because I do have those two failed disks, I've removed those from the systems, so we're down to 66 disks. And we'll look at that command in just a moment. Now the wizard is moving forward. It's almost at the end. And there we go. So that has completed. Now we'll do a get storage subsystem for the cluster, and it shows that the clustered Windows storage is healthy. And we're going to pass in this command. This is the one I was talking about where it returns a number. So we're doing a get physical disk count, and as you can see, we have 66. That is totally expected. Now, our next command is a little bit non-intuitive. This is get physical disk where they can pool not equal to true. So this command returning nothing here is exactly what we want to see. Again, that's probably why that's a little bit non-intuitive. So if we change that command to say equals true, we should now see a big list. These are all the disks that are in all four of my nodes, and you can see the 800 gig SSDs and the 4 terabyte spinning disks. The disks that are showing up as 186 gig, those are the 200 gig SSDs that are the operating system disks. So we'll just clean that window up a bit and we'll move forward. And we're making great progress here. So our next step is really to create the storage pool. So we'll pass that in, new storage pool, and we're giving it a friendly name of CCEP S2D pool, and pulling in all the disks. And we're setting the resiliency setting in this case to mirror. So we have a correct return that the pool has been created and it's healthy. The next piece of this is actually to find all of the SSD disks and set the SSD usage to journal. And that's what this command does. We are going to get the pool and pass in pipeline to get physical disk where the media type equals SSD, and then set that those physical disks usage to journal. So we pass that in. You saw it flash on the screen, and that's all done. Now, the next thing that we're going to do, we're leveraging some new functionality that was just introduced in TP4, which is to support multi-resilient disks, which is essentially tiering on the disks. So we're going to create our storage tiers, and I'll do these one at a time. It's essentially the same command. So we're creating a new storage tier in the pool, and we're going to call this Mirror Tier 1, using hard drives, HDDs. A resilience setting name is Mirror. And then we're going to do our second storage tier, and we're going to modify that slightly. Same pool. We're going to call it Parity Tier 1, also on HDDs. Resiliency setting name is Parity in this case. So we have our two storage tiers. That's fantastic. Now we're actually going to leverage those in creating this multi-resilient virtual disk or volume. And we're going to I'll just throw the command up first. So we're defining a couple of variables, mirror tier, parity tier, and then our comment. And then we're going to use the new volume command, give the virtual disk a friendly name, set the file system, and then the storage tiers, we're using the variables that we defined, $MT and $PT, and then setting the storage tier sizes. And we're doing about a 10% mirror tier here. So we're going to end up with a total 10 terabyte virtual disk, where 1 terabyte of that virtual disk will be mirror for speed and performance at the cost of disk space. And the remaining 9 terabyte of that, or 90%, will be set as erasure coding or a parity volume. A little bit less performant, but certainly much more efficient from a disk utilization perspective. So we'll execute this command and let this run for a moment. And we're creating the new volume. And it should just take another moment or two. And our next step is actually going to be to create our scale-out file server. And there's, a nice, easy, fast, quick way to do that with a single PowerShell commandlet. And there's our new volume. And you can see the sizes there. So moving into our new scale-out file server, we're going to do new storage file server. Give it a friendly name. We're going to use CCEP S2D SOFS, not a very inventive name, but effective for our purposes. And what this is doing in the background is it's creating this scale-out file server role, and it has completed, and it's healthy. Everything's great. So we're almost done here. Our last piece is really to create the file shares. Again, if we select our scale-out file server role here and we look at shares, we just have our standard non-continuously available default share. So we're going to pass in a few more commands. We're going to do new SMB share and give it a name of VMs, give it a path, and say what access rights should be there, and then set the SMB path ACL. And we'll go back to here and look at there's our share. We're all set. So that's really the end of deploying our scale-out file server as part of our Storage Spaces Direct end-to-end deployment walkthrough. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this. Please feel free to leave your feedback and comments on the Channel 9 video. And please feel free to get in touch with me that way as well with additional ideas for future videos. Thanks so much.